The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and the battle for 1600. This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and I'm very excited to introduce our guest host for today, Trish Regan.
My thanks to Seb, and I'm so glad to be here on this special day. We have breaking news crossing right now, courtesy of Sarah Carter at SarahCarter.com. She joins us right now with an update on Michael Flynn. Sarah, welcome. Investigative reporter, contributor to Fox News, award-winning correspondent, and host of The Sarah Carter Show. Let's get straight to it. You have some news to share with the listeners.
Yes. So Lieutenant General Mike Flynn has been pardoned by President Donald Trump. I think we were all on pins and needles waiting to see if that would happen. You know, Sidney Powell has been an ardent fighter for Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. She has defended him so honorably, like a true patriot, fighting to clear his name. And I know that the family wanted to do it in the courts. They didn't want it to have to come down to even a pardon. But considering everything that's happened, President Trump has pardoned Mike Flynn. And I think for so many, he's a true patriot. I've known Mike Flynn since he was working at the Pentagon, since my time in Afghanistan on the front lines, where he was and served our country so honorably for over 33 years in the military. And what happened to him was just a nightmare, Trish. It was a nightmare, and his family has lived through a nightmare. I spoke with his son briefly. His son, Mike Flynn Jr., let me know, you know, that the case had been dropped on May 7th, 2020, this year. We know that that happened. The case was dropped against him. The DOJ had asked for all charges to be dropped, all the evidence that showed that Mike Flynn was innocent of what he was being accused of. And, you know, Judge Sullivan refused to sign off on it, you know, and this has been a battle inside the courts. It was going to become a potential problem come January. And so President Trump and everybody was like, enough is enough. This family has been through so much. I also had a comment, Sidney Powell, you know, she's so extremely busy. She was able to send a comment, you know, but, you know, the corruption that she has witnessed, she said, you know, the corruption we have witnessed in the judiciary and multiple agencies of government, government executed against General Mike Flynn. This persecution should end. The FBI and DOJ have been a national embarrassment for more than 15 years. It was my fervent hope to make our judicial system work to exonerate an innocent man. All the left would want were that anyone but Trump or Mike Flynn get pardoned. But enough is enough. This is sick. It's painfully obvious Judge Sullivan is playing an evil political game with a good man's life and family. The entire country deserves better. And that's from Sidney Powell. So I think this is huge news. I mean, we have been following this story. I know you have, Trish, for a long time. And we have been working diligently to get the truth out to the American people about what happened during this horrific last 4 years, where we've seen the abuse inside our own system, the weaponization of both the FBI as well as intelligence agencies against a duly elected president. And now it ends with Michael Flynn being pardoned by President Trump, because obviously within the justice system, Lady Justice no longer has her blindfolds on. She is now working for particular people.
We're talking right now with Sarah Carter. You can follow her on Twitter at Sarah Carter DC. She's an award-winning investigative correspondent, host of the Sarah Carter Show. She is also the head of Dark Wire Reports, an investigative foundation that looks into all of these things. And wow, when you think of what Michael Flynn, I know that you've been all over the story from the very, very beginning, Sarah. And tell me, just remind the viewers here, if you would, and the listeners, what exactly he went through. Because, you know, he kind of went in there thinking, you know, okay, the FBI wants to talk to me. Let me just answer their questions. He didn't even have an attorney present, right? And then there was all this badgering and all this pressure because they had an ulterior motive.
Hello, Trish.
Hi, I'm right here. Hello? Okay, we just lost Sarah, but we'll try and get her back. Sarah Carter joining us at Sarah Carter DC, just breaking the news that Michael Flynn has been pardoned by the United States President Donald Trump. Sidney Powell just confirming that to her. And Sarah, who had done a lot of reporting on this over the last 4 years, pointing out that this is a man who just got put through the ringer, right? And was really effectively used and abused by the worst parts of our deep state and pressured into saying things because he wanted to save his family and he wanted to save his son. And it was just a mess. And when you think of what he went through, and thank goodness he had a good lawyer in Sidney, and she was willing to take the case and bring it forward and take back that guilty plea and say, wait a second, no, you know, you can't do this. This is the United States of America. You know, I'll tell you one thing. The left gets all worked up about how some people get badgered, right, by the police or by authorities. You know, this is a man who had served his country, and that's effectively exactly what happened to him. So pardoning him, given what he might have been up against with the Biden administration, and the way they have politicized everything, it was the right thing to do. The right thing for President Trump to do. I know that Sidney Powell, and she articulated this to our friend Sarah Carter, I know that Sidney Powell wanted to be able to see this through and really, you know, torch the judge, if you would, for how he politicized it all in the 11th hour. But given the timing, given the circumstances, given the uncertainty, it really was the right thing for the president to do at this time. Sarah, I know you're back with us. Thank you. Sarah Carter.
Oh, you're
at
welcome.
Sarah
Sorry
Carter,
about
D.C.
That.
Don't worry. It's breaking news, and we're thrilled you can bring us this. I think there's probably a lot of listeners that are very happy to hear this because they know that Michael Flynn and his family went through hell, frankly, for the last several years. Tell us a little bit about what they did effectively, how they weaponized our government to hurt this man who had served his country.
I mean, let's just start from the very beginning. I mean, they targeted Michael Flynn from the get-go. They basically unmasked his name. I think everybody remembers that early on in 2017. Was when we started getting leaked reports of that from sources and were able to prove it. They weaponized it by leaking lies to the media. Let's not forget the story from the Washington Post that was written by columnist David Ignatius, quite a famous columnist here in Washington, D.C., where it tried, and he did, try to connect Mike Flynn to some kind of nefarious ongoings with Russians, with the Russian GRU, with the Russian ambassador, where they tried to spread rumors, which were actually libel, even overseas in England, where they tried telling stories about Mike Flynn and, you know, this British Russian-born professor, Svetlana Lakova, who, by the way, wanted to sue. And did attempt to sue, and she still is in a number of lawsuits right now against some of these news agencies that lied about her, tried to spread malicious rumors by using her to target Mike Flynn. I can tell you that his family has been through so much. This is a man who's dedicated husband, dedicated father. I've known him for years, Trish. I've known him for years. He is an incredible human being. What they have done to him to go after President Trump is unheard of. They weaponized the systems that we trust in our government, our FBI, our law enforcement, and our intelligence agencies to target the president of the United States. And they did that by going after everyone around him. And it's a shame. You know, I never would think that this would happen in the United States of America, but it did. And we have to be aware that this is continuing to happen. And we haven't had anybody pay the price yet for what they've done.
Don't go anywhere. I want to stay with you. Sarah Carter breaking the news that Michael Flynn has been pardoned by the United States President Donald J. Trump. That news getting confirmed to her directly by Sidney Powell. We have much more to discuss. And Sarah, I can't wait to get your take on everything that's happening in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania today, because it seems to be, anyway, it seems to be a little bit of good news. Do we have time to play the clip? I'm asking the team, do we have time to play the clip from Rudy Giuliani?
I would love
when
that.
When you look at this entire curve with all these spikes, can you calculate how much of a vote that accounted for Biden and how much for Trump?
Close to 600,000. I think our figures are about 570,000 that all those spikes represent over time.
For Biden?
Correct.
And how much for Trump?
I think it was a little over 3,200.
I just had the same reaction as the crowd. We're going to be back to get Sarah Carter's take on that. I am Trish Regan in for Dr. Seb Gorka. Don't go anywhere. America First next.
Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Thank you so much, Seb. Trish Regan here with you today. We just broke the news, thanks to Sarah Carter, that Michael Flynn has been pardoned. And we've been talking about the developments out of Pennsylvania. A Pennsylvania judge is halting election certification there amid this whole mail-in vote fight. There's a lawsuit, of course, being brought by the president's attorneys. We were listening to Rudy Giuliani earlier in the press conference alleging that Pennsylvania's mail-in voting law violated the state's constitution, not to mention there's a whole bunch of irregularities, if you would, when it comes to the actual votes and when and how they were calculated, enough to raise some eyebrows, as Giuliani did. And so you're not supposed to talk about these things, though, I should point out, because, you know, the left doesn't want you to talk about this. This is a done deal, right, as far as the left is concerned. And so the idea that you might even just entertain the idea that maybe things get reversed in Pennsylvania and he picks up 20 electoral votes. Oh, goodness, no. Don't even say that. That's conspiracy theory stuff to even insinuate such a thing. Sarah Carter back with us. And Sarah, you know,
right,
it's disappointing.
Well, it is disappointing because we should ask questions. We should always ask questions. I think I still live in America, right? I think I'm still allowed to be a journalist, right? I think it's important that we ask questions, particularly when we hear issues like ballot harvesting, right? And voter fraud. And then all of a sudden, even in Pennsylvania, you know, like a judge changes the rules of the game. You know what? We don't have to put dates on these mail-in ballots. Well, that opens the potential for fraud. Look, that's not just me or conservatives talking this way. I mean, this was a big deal to Democrats a long time ago.
Well, you know, if the tables were turned, if it was razor thin margins in just a handful of states and it looked like Trump was going to win. I mean, look, you know, I know. What did we just deal with for the last 4 years? Joe Biden was still saying it on the campaign trail the few times he got out of the basement this summer that Trump stole the election. And they're shutting down any kind of insinuation or questioning, if you would, to just say, wait a second, you know, maybe this is not what it seems. I know how passionate you are about this, Sarah. I know you've started the Dark Wire Foundation. Tell us about that, because you want journalists to be able to tell the truth.
Right. I want journalists to be able to tell the truth, and I want the American public and our lawmakers to get the truth. I mean, the truth is not always easy. It's a tough road to get to the truth. And sometimes you'll have enemies all around you trying to stop you from getting the truth out. And that's why I started thedarkwire.com. We worked on this. The Dark Wire, it's an investigation foundation. Over 2 years ago, when I first launched the 501c3, we did a documentary called Not in Vain. It was a documentary about the opioid epidemic, which, by the way, is on the rise again in the United States. We saw it this year, particularly with the lockdowns due to COVID-19, the devastation the effects of those lockdowns have also caused in our country. And we see a rise in addiction rates and deaths among our young and even among our old due to opioids. So we started out with that. We did the opioid documentary. We've been working on some other projects, some that deal with legislation, others that deal with anti-Semitism and our campaign against hate. And it's very, very important that we not be afraid to tell the truth, that we find a place, and hopefully the Dark Wire, you know, for all of you out there, it's thedarkwire.com, find a place where we can train young journalists to tell stories and not to be afraid to ask those questions. Like, for example, the CDC says no loud music, no drinking on Thanksgiving, you know, and no dancing to stop the spread of COVID. Well, I don't even understand that. Shouldn't we ask the question to the CDC? Why would loud music cause the spread of COVID? I don't know. But we need to ask those questions. We can't just accept verbatim what people are telling us all the time. And we can't be afraid. We can't be afraid to challenge our authority. We're supposed to be watchdogs.
I love this crusade. I mean, it's true to what journalists really should be and what they were meant to be. But in this environment, right, Sarah, of big tech, where big tech is shutting you down left and right, I've dealt with it. I know you have dealt with it. You know, there's got to be a way for people to be able to access real information.
Right. And I think this is something that we need to be very concerned about, Trish, and it's censorship. And I know you have dealt with it. I'm dealing with it now. I mean, I'm dealing with it for the fact that I can't even get verified on Facebook. I can't even get verified on Facebook because they refuse to do that. There is always some excuse as to why they won't verify me, or even on Twitter, where we've seen a shadow banning, where they try to stop the flow of information. Our founding fathers established freedom of speech and the First Amendment because they knew and they understood that no nation can be free if you silence its people. You cannot have a free nation because people need information to make reasonable choices. And by the way, we all have the right to express ourselves and our feelings and to talk and to have opinions. And sorry if those opinions don't always connect with what everybody else wants, but we have the right to those opinions. So I just hope that people understand, you know, this is why I started this foundation. I think it means so much to me because it's about the people. It's about us. It's about all of us being a part of this great American story and not letting our nation fundamentally be changed forever.
Sarah, when you think about the fact that you had what? I mean, 72, 73, we'll figure out what the final tally is on the votes that voted for Donald Trump. And yet none of that was picked up in the polling, right? None of it. And yet all these people, why? Because they were afraid. I mean, if you can't express your opinion, if somebody's going to excommunicate you or deplatform you or fire you from your job because you are a Trump supporter, I mean, then you're not going to tell anybody. And that seems to be the antithesis of a free society.
Right. Right. And so that's what happens. And Trish, you make so much sense there and you deliver it so well because the people were quiet. They always talked about the silent majority. Why did Americans have to be silent? Think about it. Over 73 million Americans, more than anybody, had ever voted for a Republican candidate for the presidency for office. Voted for President Donald Trump, believed in an America First agenda, which isn't just about America First. It's about putting other places first, too. You can't help other nations. You can't do the right thing internationally if you're not taking care of your own people and your own country. That's just a fact. I mean, and that's something that Hollywood's been preaching forever, right? You got to take care of yourself first before you can take care of anybody else. And that was President Trump's agenda. And that's what we were doing. So 73 million people. But you brought up such an important point. It's like a light bulb moment, right? It's like a light bulb moment. It's like all of a sudden we realize so many people were silent. Why were they silent? Because they were afraid of the mainstream media and the backlash that they may face from people on the left that are in power that they work for or that they attend school with or that are in their church group.
There you go. No, that's the nail on the head. And it's wrong. I mean, we should be united as a country in our appreciation for a diversity of opinion. You can follow her on Twitter. Help her get verified on Facebook and make sure you go to her foundation website because Sarah Carter is out there telling the truth and it's really important to hear right now. Thank you so much, Sarah. Great talking to you and excellent breaking news. Michael Flynn has been pardoned.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is marking its season of hope, and they need your help. The foundation is honoring America's heroes by donating 36 homes in 36 days. That's one home a day from Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve. Tunnel to Towers is gifting homes in more than two dozen states across our nation. They're bringing hope to great Americans, our catastrophically injured veterans, Gold Star, and fallen first responder families. The foundation is giving thanks to all of those who have sacrificed so much for us and to the many people like you across this country who have supported their efforts to honor our nation's heroes. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. Donate $11 a month by going to t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Help bring hope to America's heroes and their families. Thank you.
On the side of the U.S. Constitution, America first.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Trish Regan in for Seb Gorka today. What a fascinating conversation we just had with Sarah Carter, who started the Dark Wire Foundation, because, as she says, truth needs to be told. And right now, journalists are being shut down. I've felt it. She's felt it. And it's not right because Americans deserve to hear all sides. And if you want to hear all sides, you got to be willing to get that information out there. Anyway, speaking of hearing all sides and being sympathetic to different viewpoints, I'm also very sympathetic to the importance of the individual. And the individual in our society really is everything, right? You've heard me say before, and you've heard Seb say this, because I grew up born and raised in live free or die country, New Hampshire, great state of New Hampshire, where I wouldn't be surprised if Seb is right now, because I know he goes up there a lot into the northern part of the state for some of his holidays. But great, great place, great place. And, you know, live free or die, it's plastered across every single license plate. And so it gets sort of ingrained in you. And when we're dealing with this mask insanity, right, like you got to wear a mask in New Hampshire, even in New Hampshire, they're saying you got to wear one inside and outside. In Pennsylvania, you got to wear one inside your house. So I guess when you go to kiss your husband or wife, good night, mwah, good night, honey. And you're wearing a mask. I mean, come on, this is just getting insane. Right. If I want to go out for a walk, as I did just the other day on the beach with no one around, why am I getting yelled at by somebody 30 yards away saying, where's your mask? Well, Victor's joining us right now from Silver Spring, Maryland, and he knows exactly what I'm talking about. Victor, welcome to America First. This is Trish.
Thank you. Yeah, I went out for my walk today. I try to walk up and down this hill in the next block for exercise, and I'm tapping along with my white cane, and this woman comes out of her house, starts to get in her car, and she says, Victor, where's your mask? And I said, I'm not wearing one. And she said, why not? I said, because I don't feel like wearing one. What's it to you? And she says, okay. if you're going to act like that, I'm never going to speak to you again. I said, fine, don't speak to me again. So I went on my merry way. I told a couple of other neighbors who just said, oh, she's just a busy, nosy person, minds everybody else's business but her own. So anyhow, I'm just fed up with this whole thing. I'm fed up with the lockdown.
Well, you know, you're out on a walk outside, for goodness sakes. I mean, look, I can understand if you guys were both, you know, shoulder to shoulder at a BLM protest, you might ask her to wear a mask.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you were standing in line
protest
at the grocery
yeah.
store. But, you know, the idea that you can go out to these protests right now, right, but you're not allowed to go for a walk or a hike outside. I mean, outside. And, you know, it's getting silly. And what I don't like is the way it's turning neighbors on each other and friends on each other, and the way government is now encouraging that, because you've got the governor of Oregon who's actually encouraging people to call 911 if they see too many cars at a neighbor's house for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I told another neighbor, I said, I'm going to Virginia for Thanksgiving. We're going to see a friend. And he said, are you going to wear your mask? And I said, yeah, under protest, because I considered the mask a new form of chains.
Well, you know, Attorney General Barr said something recently about that. He said this really is a kind of violation of our civil liberties that we have not seen since really the days of slavery. And when you tell people they can't go to work and they cannot earn a living and they have to wear a mask, now even inside your home in Pennsylvania, it is out of control. They are trying to increasingly, I feel, infringe on our rights in a way that feels like a fascist style dictatorship, and I don't want it. I'm not having it. Thank you so much, Victor, for sharing that story with us. John is also joining right now from Columbus, Ohio, and he feels kind of similar, don't you, John?
Yes, I do, because we have Governor DeWine, who the only good thing I can say about him is he's not Mr. Kasich.
But anyway, you have some requirements there in Ohio.
Yeah, you better believe we do. He's grounded the entire state. We've got the curfew from 10 o'clock at night until 5 or 6 in the morning. So the whole state's grounded.
It's like, what is so bewitching about 10 o'clock at night? I mean, it's like when the clock strikes 12, Cinderella. You know that the ball gown is going to turn to rags at 10 p.m. all over the country now. Anyway, John, thank you. Victor, thank you. Everyone, thank you. Do not go anywhere, because we got to talk some more about what's happening in Pennsylvania. This is a big, big deal, plus the pardon of Michael Flynn.
I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Let's get back to the show with Trish Regan.
Thank you, Seb. And it's good to be here with all of you. 1-833-33-GORKA. I've told Seb, I'm like, you have the greatest listeners. You really do. And I know I have the greatest listeners on my podcast, which I hope you go and download off of Apple iTunes. You can get the Trish Regan Show also on YouTube. Go and subscribe to my YouTube channel, the Trish Regan Channel. But definitely go get that podcast where I am every single day talking about the things that matter right now. Because truth is something that people don't want to hear. I mean, I know you want to hear it. But there's a lot of people out there on the left, they just don't want to hear it. They cover their ears, they stomp their feet, and they do everything they can to make sure that you don't hear someone like me or someone like Seb. And so I really appreciate you going right now onto Apple iTunes, onto Spotify, onto Amazon, and downloading my podcast, The Trish Regan Show. Please listen to it and share it with your friends, because I'm back and I'm not going anywhere. And no one is going to tell me what I have to say or what I have to think. I am my own person, and it is my right as an American, and it is my duty as a journalist to tell you what's going on. Turning to a happier note, but still concerning, Christmas is coming up, and I love Christmas. It's actually my favorite time of year. So we're going into Thanksgiving, and my family and I, we make a whole big thing of it. We get the Christmas decorations up starting on Friday. We have our appointment to go look at the tree. We're going to go to the farm. Well, not really an appointment. We just show up at the farm. But we have we've got a schedule going for Friday because we get a lot to do. I mean, there's a lot of decorating that has to happen. And you know what? My kids, I have three little ones. They love it. They love it. They love Christmas. They love opening gifts. They love being around family. It creates memories. These are memories that I have of my childhood as well growing up. And one of the memories I have is not just those wonderful, wonderful moments, you know, when you'd be opening your gifts under the tree and saying, Mommy, look at what Santa brought. Daddy, look at what Santa brought me. And not just, you know, hugging your grandparents. But I also have memories of the charity work that my mom used to do. And she used to take me out every Christmas and we would go shopping for a little girl. She'd sponsor, you know, a couple of kids every single year. And we'd go and we'd buy them gifts. And these were kids whose parents couldn't give them gifts because their parents were in prison. And, I remember as a kid trying to get my head around that, right? Because my life was great. I had two parents. I had my grandparents. I had my little sister. And we had each other. And I couldn't even quite conceive of what it must be like to not have that. But my mom taking me out and doing that shopping, it had a huge impact on me. And you know what it taught me? It taught me how to put myself in someone else's shoes. And, you know, that's part of the spirit of Christmas. And I bring that up right now because we got lots of kids in America right now, millions of kids whose parents are incarcerated and they can't get in touch with their children. They can't buy them a gift. They can't send them a note at Christmas. It's not as easy for them. And so that's where the Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree program comes in. And that's where you come in. Because your donations are what make it possible for a prisoner's child to actually get a gift from their parent at Christmas, a personalized note from mom or dad, access to a Bible. You know, that can be a game changer in a kid's life in either English or Spanish. And last year, the Angel Tree program, they blessed over 300,000 little kids, all kids of prisoners. In America, here are two of them. I want you to hear from Alana, and I want you to hear from Quentin. They're telling us what they love most about being part of the Angel Tree Christmas.
Spending time with my family and knowing that my dad cares. He's sending me all these gifts thanks to you. And I really like to thank you for it.
I like the presents that my dad sent me. I know that you guys care and he cares. So I just want to thank you for that, and I love Christmas. Thank you, Angel Tree, for doing all that you do, because you don't have to do this, but you choose to do it, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's true. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do anything, but think about the difference you're making in these little kids' lives. So it's your opportunity to share your love of Christ, to share your love of Christmas, and to share your love of family, and maybe even to help teach your own kids or your grandkids how lucky they are. And to have some empathy for what other people are going through. You can make a donation to Seb Gorka's Angel Tree campaign. I want you to go right now to sebgorka.com. Click on the Angel Tree banner. Or phone your donation by calling our special number. You can call 1-888-206-2794. It's 1-888-206-2794. Again, sebgorka.com, the Angel Tree campaign. It's good for the kids, you know, and it's good for you. I mean, that's one of the greatest things about Christmas, right? It being able to share with each other, with our neighbors, and with those that are less fortunate, like these little kids. For a gift of just $220, do you know that you can bless 10 10 children of prisoners. Think about that, with personalized Christmas presents, a personal note from their parent. Think of how special that makes them feel, how good it'll make you feel. Plus, every Angel Tree family is also given an access to a free, easy-to-read copy of the Bible in English or Spanish. A lot of people say something as simple as that, reading the Bible, it's changed their lives. So please go to SebGorka.com. Click on the Angel Tree banner for me and for Seb. And for all of us here at Salem, we thank you for joining Dr. Gorka's campaign to help prison fellowship. We got a lot more coming up. We got to talk about what they're doing to our individual liberties. We've got to talk about what they did to Michael Flynn, and the great news coming out today, breaking it right here on America First, Sarah Carter telling us she can confirm Michael Flynn has been pardoned by the President of the United States of America, and we're going to talk about the good news out of Pennsylvania. You know, there may just be a chance for him to win after all.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
Welcome back, everyone. I am Trish Regan. I am in for Sebastian Gorka on this day before Thanksgiving. I hope you've got some great plans. I've got some great plans. I'm breaking the rules. That's me. Yeah. You know, they've got all these rules, right? You're not supposed to have anyone over, and there's all these curfews, and I think I have like 15 people coming to my house, so I got a lot of cooking to do. And I'm looking forward to every bit of this. And look, I understand and I respect that people need to be cautious right now, but I also respect that these are individual decisions, right? And this is an individual decision that I came to, that my friends came to, and we concluded that, you know, we're all pretty safe and we'd like to get together. Thank you very much for Thanksgiving. But, you know, it's not the case for some people, because out in Oregon, if you get together, your neighbors can call 911 on you. The governor's actually encouraging neighbors to call 911 on each other if they see too many cars out there. Anyway, I want to get to the really good news that we broke right here before anyone, thanks to Sarah Carter, who had just heard from Sidney Powell. Guess what? Michael Flynn has been pardoned by the President of the United States. You know, Sidney had not necessarily wanted that, because she really wanted him to be fully exonerated. But given the politics of the moment, shall we say, and the uncertainty as to who is going to be in charge come January 20th, it seemed prudent to make sure that he at least was pardoned. Michael Flynn was effectively entrapped, right, in this scheme by our deep state to try and take down the administration of the President of the United States. I mean, don't forget, you know, all the trouble initially started because they said he was in violation of the Logan Act and said he couldn't have been talking, he shouldn't have been talking to the Russian ambassador until Donald Trump had taken office. Well, apparently he talked to the Russian ambassador, and he wasn't as forthcoming, apparently, with Vice President Pence. And then the deep state was like, oh, well, he's going to get compromised. And then they really put him up against it. And they didn't give him a lawyer, and they really intimidated him. They intimidated his family. He was worried about his son. I mean, he went through H-E-double-L with them. When the feds come for you, it ain't pretty, right? So he was very lucky that he got a lawyer that was talented, that took the case on and was able to really get him cleared, but not fully cleared, because you had this judge that tried to politicize it at the 11th hour. Anyway, the good news is he has been pardoned by the President of the United States. And I got more good news as we go into this Thanksgiving holiday. Guess what? There's some good news coming out of Pennsylvania, where some hearings are happening on the election right now. Could this mean that President Trump might get 20 electoral votes more? We're on it after this.